As some of you might know, if anybody that knows me, I have a fair love for history, and reading history in particular. Recently, I have been reading a book on the Second World War, and I was reading a story recently of a man who was a paratrooper in the American Army during the Second World War, and he was telling of his time, of how they trained to jump out of aeroplanes. Now, as most people who would know me would know that I have a great fear of heights, and anybody who jumps out of an aeroplane or jumps off a bungee rope for fun needs their head looked at, but that's another story. So I was considering this, and I was thinking to myself, well, I'm sure there was people like me and during this time who had a fear of heights. How did they get them to jump out of these aeroplanes? Well, this is just a passage that I read from the book, and I'm just going to read it to you as it said. And it says, "We would stand in the door of the aeroplane. The first man would put his hand just outside the door. He would put his feet and his knees together. He would bend his knees slightly, and he would look towards the horizon, always looking up, never looking down. If you look down, you become fearful and discouraged, and oftentimes you would not jump. So they ask you to always look up, never to look down, always to look up. So when you were jumping out of the plane, even whenever you were coming near to the ground, they still told you to look up. So whenever you jumped out, you looked up. Whenever you were halfway down, you looked up. Never look down, because it was the landing was the hardest bit. But they said if you looked down, you would become fearful and rigid, which would cause you to have more problems. So you're always to look up." And this is what it said. So the secret of this thing was always looking up. This was the secret of it. And never to look down. So we're going to look today at the verse 19 of chapter 4. And it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, recently, I think it was a Tuesday night where we spoke on verse 13. About being able to do all things through Christ. And it has a similar tone to what we're going to speak on today. Because whenever you read through Philippians or any book of the Bible, it's very easy, I find, just to glance over words and not to really look at them and realize what God's saying. Now, I'm going to read it again. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." It doesn't say some of your needs, part of your needs, all your needs. So, whenever I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the Israelites, and I'm going to paraphrase this to make it for time that we can understand it. But I was thinking about the Israelites whenever they were in bondage in Egypt, and that they were going to go to the Promised Land. You may recall the story of the plagues in Egypt and how they were delivered upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. In particular, the firstborn that was killed, and they had to have the blood over the lintel, and that was caused. Now, whenever they were taken out, the Israelites were taken out of bondage, and they came to that point where they met the Red Sea, I was thinking to myself, well, what would I have done in that situation? What would my thoughts have been? So here they are. In front of them is a sea. Behind them is the Egyptian army coming towards them. And, you know, what would you have done in that situation? And I was thinking to myself, well, it's hard to understand what your thoughts would have been in that situation. But you see, here we are, and God opened the sea for them. And whenever they went through, the Egyptians thought they could do the same. But as soon as they went in, we know that the waters covered them. So here we are in a situation now. We have, the Bible estimates that there was probably somewhere in the region of 3.5 million people in this Jewish people. So they needed food, obviously, to eat. So they began to complain about no food. How are you going to feed 3.5 million people? Well, the answer's there. God tells us that God sent manna from heaven. It was described I read a commentator who described it as angel's food. That's what he described it as, this manna that was coming from heaven. So let's stop and say, God has promised to provide the needs of his people. Okay? God has promised also in this verse that if you, Christian, put him first, he'd take care of your needs. Remember what it says? But my God, he cannot be your God unless you're a Christian, shall provide all your needs. All your needs. So, you may say to me, well, Jack, you don't know what my needs are, and you don't know what problems I have. And I don't. That's correct. But the answer can be turned around. You don't know my problems. And the same thing. But we know someone who does. God does. And he's promised to provide the needs for his people. You may say, well, I have major problems in my life, but I can't understand. Well, then, let's have a wee look. This verse that we read, who read it? We know that Paul read it. Where was the Apostle Paul while he was writing this particular verse? He was in the dungeon in the prison. He was in a dungeon in the prison when he read it. So, how's about that for faith? And you may say to me, Jeff, well, I know Paul, and you're not, and neither am I. But Paul was just a man, just like you and me. He was just an ordinary person. But he had this faith. He had this faith. So when you look at your problems and you say, well, how am I going to deal with this? Well, we're going to have another look at it. So we see that God has provided them with food. And now, again, we're in the position where they need the drink. They need water. So God says to Moses to take the rod. You remember the story? You can find it in the Exodus where God tells him to take the rod. He was to go to the rock in Horeb, and whenever he was to strike it, the water would come forth. Whenever he done it, it happened. Now, I have read, I do not know whether this is true or not, because I haven't been there, but I have read that that particular rock still brings forth water even to this day. Even to this day. Now, it's interesting that we realize this, that the Jews had manna from heaven. They had the water from the rock. And I was thinking to myself, well, what else was there? Well, there was a time when they needed meat. They needed meat. They needed flesh. And what did God do? Well, God just basically made the quails or the birds. You know what? I'm sure most of you know what quails is, which is a small bird, basically drop out of the sky for them to feed. For remember, 3.5 million people for 30 days, quail every day. God provided for his people. Now, we know that after a period of time, they come to the door, as such, of the promised land. They had marched from Egypt into the land of Canaan, and they would now come to the place which was called Kadesh Barnea, the door of the promised land. Now, here before them was the dream. It was Moses' dream. It was the people's dream. Here was this place. All that they had to do was walk in. That's all they had to do. Now, if God can divide the Red Sea for them, he can provide for them to conquest in Canaan. But you remember what happened in this particular point. That Moses, the Bible tells us that God told him to do this. But I personally believe that God was trying them at this point, where they were to send forth a certain amount of people to see what this land was going to be like. So Moses got these 12 boys together, and he sent them forth into this land to see what it was like. Now, if you turn in your Bibles, please, to Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Now, we see here in verse 33, it says, and there, this is the 12 men that went into the country to see what it was like. First of all, they said that it was, yes, it was all that God said it would be, that it was a land that was flowing with milk and honey, and it was the most beautiful place that they have ever experienced. But you see what it says in verse 33, and it says, "And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Now, this is the heading of our sermon this morning. Is it giants or grasshoppers? Now, I want you to try and understand this. This is biblical times that we're looking at. Now, in modern day language, when the odds are against someone, we would probably say, well, you know, there's no chance this is going to happen. Or somebody, say for instance, if you watch the boxing match and some guy was like massive, enormous, small, you'd say he's no chance. He's absolutely no chance. In biblical times, they describe these type of people as the giants, and the small people or the inferior people or runt, for the better of a word, grasshoppers. Grasshoppers. So this is what we explained here. Now, I want you to try and get this in if you can. We realize that at this point, well, say for instance Samson would have been described as a giant. So years passed anyway, and there's this boy in the field, and his name is David. Now, he's just a boy, remember. His father's name was Jesse. The Bible described him as ruddy-faced, or that way to describe it. He was just a boy. And David was asked by his father to bring substance or food to his brothers who were at this point of battle. So he left Bethlehem where he was minding the sheep, and he took this food or substance to his brothers. Now, we have often spoke about David before, and David is a favourite character of mine in the Bible. I would advise you, if you get a chance, to study his life, because it's a very, very interesting life. Now, David was asked to do this. David done this. So away he went to this point where he was to go. And whenever he got there, he basically felt the earth move, and he looked across, and he seen this man standing. And he says, well, what's going on? And all the brothers and all the people, they were trembling. The Jews were trembling. They couldn't work this out. And what are we going to do in this situation? Well, you see, at this point, we know that Saul was the king. And Saul should have been the man who was fighting this Philistine. But he wouldn't. He didn't want to go. He was scared. He was fearful. And nobody else wanted to do it either. Remember, this was Goliath. This was this giant. And he said, come on, send whoever you want, and I'll take them on. I'll sort this problem out. And here was little David. David said, Let me go. I'll go. Now, can you imagine his brothers, what they must have thought? And here was wee David, just a boy, and he was going to take on this big giant. I'm sure they laughed at him. They probably told him, David, go you home, away out of the road. This isn't your situation. This isn't where you should be. But you see, David seen Goliath not as a giant, but as a grasshopper. You say, well, okay, let's look at Goliath. It says that Goliath was 6 cubits and a span tall. Now, 6 cubits is basically 9 feet, and the span is 9 inches, so that's 9 feet nine he was. So this guy was massive. A cubit basically is the distance between your elbow and your index finger. That's a cubit. So obviously some people are different. A child is going to have a small than mine, but the average is about 18 inches. That's what it is. So the worked it out, that's what it is. He was 9 feet tall, 9 feet 9 inches tall. He had a helmet of brass on his head. He had a shield across his shoulders. He had a coat of mail down his front. He had greaves or coverings on his legs. He had a spear, which the Bible tells us was like a weaver's beam. And he had everything covered. Probably the only thing that was visible was his eyes, because everything else was covered in him. Now, If you can picture this obstacle that David faced, a giant, 9 feet 9 inches tall, completely covered by protection with armour and with a spear in his hand like a weaver's beam. Little David walked up with a slingshot and 5 stones and said, "I take care of this grasshopper." It's incomprehensible whenever I thought about this. I know most of you have read this story from numerous occasions, probably from Sunday school onwards. But can you comprehend that this man, and here was this wee boy coming up, and he was standing there and he was going to do this, and he was looking at this giant like he was a grasshopper. Now, this man was probably the giant of giants as such. And here was these 10 men in Kadesh. What were they saying? Well, you've seen what we read there in Numbers. It says that they were similar. They were saying, here was this giant in their sight, and we are but grasshoppers. What can we do in this situation? So, look at the same fella. Now, in his brothers, he was a giant in their eyes. In David's eyes, he was a grasshopper. Well, you say, well, how can he be a grasshopper if he's a giant? Because he was looking through God's eyes. And he knew that his walk with God was going to help him in this situation. So, we can look at it in another situation. Say, for instance, there's two young people, Christian people, who God has called them into Bible college. Now, this is just a summary. And one boy says, well, I could maybe go for a while, but I don't think I could afford to go for the full term because I wouldn't be able to provide for myself and my family. I don't think I'd be able to do it. And the other boy says, I'll go because God has called me to go. Do you see where I'm coming from here? One person looks at it as a giant, and the other one looks at it like a grasshopper. So this is where we have to look at it. There's 2 points to it. Now, you can take another summary is that two people that face heartache or burden in this year, 2011, and I'm sure there will be heartaches to be faced, and one looks at it as it is a giant of a problem. What am I going to do? And the other one looks at it as a grasshopper because what has he done? He's given the problem to God. He's given the problem to God. And he sees it as a grasshopper. So, there's so many summaries that you can think of and different things that we can do. Say, for instance, there's two families. They both earn the same thing, and God has spoken to them about tithing into their church. And one boy, he says, I couldn't afford to do that. What about my bills? What am I going to do? Sure, I couldn't afford it. And the other boy says, well, God has told me to do it, and God will provide me for everything else. So this is what I have to do. You see where I'm coming from here? Look at the problem as a giant, or look at it as a grasshopper. What's the difference? The difference is God. That's it. The difference is God. Now, there's a situation that we have to look at, and I don't particularly like to look at it, but we have to. We have to look at it. Take two people who look at death, their own death, and one's saying, what am I going to do? And he's panicking about it, and he's worried about it, and the other boy says, well, now this is Christians I'm talking about, by the way. The other boy says, well, I don't particularly want to die, but if I do, I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be with the Lord. Now, you can't say that if you're not saved. You can't say that. This is Christians that we're looking at this point. Now, death is a great giant to people, some people, and to others. I can remember the point that I'm sure you've often heard me say before. Before I was saved, the thing that used to really annoy me and get to me was that I had a great fear of death. And at the point whenever I get saved, I give that fear to God. And whenever I give that fear to God, the fear of death completely left me. I don't have a fear of death anymore because God has taken it away. It may be in there in the human body, but God took it away. God took away that thing. Now, may I say to you this morning, whatever your obstacle this year, whatever your burden be this year, whatever problem that we have to solve this year, and whatever question you must answer this year, whatever burden that we must bear this year, it can be a giant or a grasshopper. The great difference depends on whether you include God. Whether you include God. Now, follow me here. 10 men, 3.5 million Jews, folks, behind them say, we cannot go on. We've seen what they said at that point. They said that they were crying and they were fearful. And you see, what did they say? They said, we are like grasshoppers in the sight and they are like giants. They were fearful. They were fearful. And here we are as one little ruddy-faced boy who had the blessing and the power of God on him, and he said, I take him. I take this boy on. He says he can be 9 feet 9 inches tall. He can have a spear like a weaver's beam. He can have his legs covered, his body covered in chainmail. Let him have a shield covered his chest. I don't care. I don't care. So here we are in a situation where David walks up to Goliath saying, I'm the one. I'm going to be the one that will fight you. Can you imagine Goliath when he looked down at this wee boy? Here was this wee boy. No coverings or anything on him. Remember that the armor that they had didn't fit him, so he just went as he was. And what did he have with him? A slingshot and 5 stones. Can you imagine what this boy looked, what he would have gone through his head when he looked down at this wee boy? He was expecting an army to come or some big boy to come. And here was this wee small boy coming to do this here. And I can just imagine David and Goliath here. Now this is me paraphrasing or me summarizing of this situation. And he said, you know, David or Goliath said that I'd serve you to the fowls of the air, and they'll be eating your flesh in just a while. And across Goliath looked up, you know, at this wee boy, and he looked at him disgust, basically. He looked at him in disgust, because he says, what's he going to do? Here am I, a giant, and I'm covered from head to toe. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to me? Goliath said, I'll feed you to the fowls before the sun goes down. Think about this. David said, big fella, the fowls are going to have a bigger lunch than they thought they had, because God is with me. God is with me. God is with me. David looked to Goliath like he was a grasshopper. He looked to him like he was a grasshopper. Now, he takes one little stone, controlled by God, and it has more power than the spear, like a weaver's beam, which was controlled by Goliath. Remember that now. One stone controlled by God has more power than the spear, like a weaver's beam, controlled by Goliath. Let me tell you this morning, folks. In this year of 2011, that the problem that you have, whether it be financial problem, heartache, physical problem, health problem, whatever the case may be, it can either be a giant or it can be a grasshopper, depending on one thing, and one thing only, that you face it in the name of God. You face it in the name of God. Now this is what we have to do, folks. This is what we have to do. So here's David. He come up to him and he says, I face him in the name of God, because my God is able. Now I thought to myself, whenever I read that particular verse in chapter 4, and it says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to your riches and glory. Do you honestly believe that, Christian? Do you believe that God can supply all your needs? Whenever you have a health problem, do you believe that God can help you? Whenever you have a financial problem, do you believe that God can help you with that? Well, he said that he faced it in the name of the Lord. So David takes the slingshot, puts in the stone, and in that sling, little David took the slingshot and he hurled it toward Goliath. And God guided the stone. It didn't hit him in the greaves, in the legs. It didn't hit him in his coat of mail. It didn't hit him in his brass helmet. It hit him in the one place that was vulnerable. One place. Now I thought to myself of this big man, covered from head to toe, and David's standing with this wee stone, and here's this wee stone, and there's one spot in this big giant that's vulnerable. Now, if you take that in human terms, if you were to try and hit, if I was to try and hit that light socket on the back wall with a stone from here, there wouldn't be a hope of it. One stone, five stones, one stone used, one shot, guided by God, vulnerable, and he took him out. And he took him out. This is the power of God. Because God has promised to provide us with all our needs. Promised. Now, that stone in the hands of a young man given to Almighty God found its way to the proper place and Goliath was felled. We know that David then cut off his head. Because you see, giants become grasshoppers when God is in it. Now I know that we have problems, and we all have problems. And I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what your burden is. I don't know what your need is. But there's one thing I do know, and that with God, a giant becomes a grasshopper. But I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this. I also know that without God, grasshoppers can become giants. Now you say to me, Jeff, what do you mean by that? Well, isn't it the case, folks, that whenever we have big problems, we bring them to God? But whenever we have wee simple problems and wee things that you think God doesn't want to know about, we try and deal with them ourselves, don't we? We try and deal with them ourselves, and you see, then these grasshoppers can become giants because you let them fester and you worry about them. Now, I know that these problems, we often worry about them. And I don't care what your need is. I don't care what it is. There's a God in heaven who is concerned about it. And I'm talking about the little problems in our lives that we deal with daily. And there's people within this church, and they know nothing of your problems. And they know nothing about them. And there's wee things, and you may say to yourself, well, God doesn't want to know about that. Sure, that's only a wee small thing. God wants to know. God wants to know. He's concerned about it. He's concerned about your problems, whatever the case may be. He knows that the smallest problems, most minute problems that you face in this year, he knows all about them. And all he asks you to do is to bring them to him. And what do? We worry about them. And we try and work them out ourselves. And we say, well, God's too big to bring that wee problem. And we'll try and work it out ourselves. And we fret about it. And we stew about it. And we worry about it. And then them grasshoppers become giants. They become giants. Now, 10 men said, we be like grasshoppers and they be like giants. David said, he's nothing but a grasshopper. I'll feed him to the sparrows and to the fowls of the air before sundown. Basically, you can say he was saying he was like a runt. That's what he was saying. Do you think that means that Goliath was smaller than other giants? Definitely not. Definitely not. He was bigger. It depends on whether you look it through the eyes of God or not. And that's what we have to do. Now, you say to me, Jeff, what's the secret? And when I preach this message, folks, I preach it as much to my own heart as I do to you. And I pray that God would use it, because we all need it. Now, we're going to look at the secret now. Remember what I said at the start about during the war of the man who, whenever they were training the paratroopers, the secret was what? Never to look down. Never to look down. Because you see, if you look down, you'll see a world that is wrecked. with disease and pain. If you look down, you'll see a country that is heading for destruction and defeat. There's no doubt about it. If you look down, you'll see pessimism and gloom. If you look down, you'll look from victory onto defeat. If you look down, you'll see heartaches. If you look down, you'll see Satan. But if you look up, every promise of God is yours. You say, well, what do you mean by that there? You see this book that we read, Christian? See this book that you study? See all the promises in them? God has promised them to you. He's promised them to you. If we look up and never look down, you can face the burden that you have. If you have illness this year, look up. If you have faced serious problems this year, look up. If you look up, giants will look like grasshoppers. Always remember that. But if you look down, grasshoppers will look like giants. So this year, God is your strength to fight the grasshoppers. May God give you the strength to see them in the perspective of what they are. May God give you the kind of vision that looks through the eyes of God himself and makes a giant look like a grasshopper. Folks, always remember to look up. Always remember to look up. You see, if we look up, we think of the Bible. If we look up, we look at the God of David, who felled Goliath. If you look up, we think of the God of Elijah, who sent the fire from heaven. If you look up, you see the God of Daniel, who closed the mouths of the hungry lions. And there's so many times, and so many, think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how God was with them in the fiery furnace. And we think of how he opened the Red Sea. And we think of Joshua, how he made the sun stand still. And all these different occasions, how he made the axe head swim. And so many different occasions, but we always have to look up, folks. Look up. Now, I want you to listen carefully as we close. As we come to the halfway point of this year, I was thinking to myself, whenever we were preparing this message, how are we going to close in this message? Well, I'm going to read the verse again that we looked at today. And I want you to, if you can, to mark this verse in your Bible, because it's so, so important. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Christian, do you believe it this morning? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God can provide all your needs? Do you believe that God can provide you your financial needs? That God can provide you your health? And God can help you in whatever the case may be. If there's illness to befall you this year, God's there. If there's death to befall us this year, God's there. God's there. So what we have to look at this morning, folks, is look through God's eyes. Look through God's eyes. Here's a promise in this Bible that we depend upon. And folks, I may put this forward to you as kindly as I can. See this book that we read from? Please study it. Sometimes it's very easy to open it Sunday by Sunday to get the message from Reverend Salter, whoever may be here, and to look at it and say, oh, well, I'll look at that during the week. And the Bible doesn't open again by your personal reading. Please study it. Don't take from whatever who is up here, whatever they say, as the gospel. Read it yourself. Read it yourself. Study it. Study God's word, because it's full of promises like this. Full of promises like this. And this is what we have to learn. Is the problems in your life going to be giants this year, or are they going to be grasshoppers? You choose. You choose. Let us pray.